Hey, my name is Dante. My pronouns are he, him. And today I'll be reading from Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous man in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Dante. Good morning, I'm Juan Pablo, the site pastor here at our Wicker Park site. My pronouns are he, him. So glad you're here with us today. We're going to talk a lot about this scripture and what it means for us as followers of Christ, and a little bit in going with our theme of letting go this Lent, letting go of things, but adding things on as well. And so, but I'm not sure about you, but growing up, we would get visitors that would walk around and they'd go in two and twos and they would knock on the door and ask if you wanted like a pamphlet, and they would announce, you know, what, where they were from, and I remember growing up that my mom would be like, shh. Yes. No one say anything. Well, where I live, we also have every week and every Monday. Monday is my Sabbath day. It's the day that I'm off. And so normally on Mondays, you can find me stretched out on the couch, catching up on things. Probably don't do very many things that are creative or productive, but I just rest. Yes. And so Mondays is when they kind of go out into the community and they ring my doorbell and I turn into my mother. I'm like, and they see me. And last Monday, I'm like, man, that's kind of rude of me to do this. They can see me. Big old glass window in the front. They could see I'm there watching TV. And so last week I said, you know, let me open the door for them. And so this gentleman introduced himself, Jeffrey, and I'm like, hello, Mr. Jeffrey. And so he's like, would you like, I'd like to give you this little pamphlet for you to read and let me know what you think, and maybe I can come back next week. And I'm like, okay. How's Monday for you? I'm like, well, Monday's my day off. So, yeah. So, came by on Monday, and, you know, it was kind of chilly, and I'm like this with the door open, my sweatpants and a torn T-shirt, which is what I wear on Mondays. And this time I'm like, you know, would you like to come in and we can chat? I said, I did read your pamphlet. So have a seat. And so I let them talk. And we had a great conversation, kind of talked a little bit about our lives. And then finally I'm like, you know, I just want to ask you one question. If I were to walk into your church or your community there as a gay person, would your congregation accept us, accept me just as I am, and let me go on with you to the streets and kind of talk to people in their houses? I love doing that. And conversation kind of like went downhill from there. And I'm not sure if they'll be back. And I feel bad because I'm like, I wonder how many homes they go into and speak to people. And I wonder how many people feel unwelcome after they leave. And I wonder what the purpose is then of going to people's homes and having good conversations with them until they find out about a little bit more about the person. Is that evangelism? I don't know. And so in this scripture, we're going to think a little bit about that. And let's think a little bit about letting go of our indifference of people and who they are. So pray with me, please. Kind God, we thank you for all the ways that you show up for us, the ways that we can embody who you are and your love in our communities, and that your Holy Spirit today would bring a fresh word in your name. Amen. And so here, we're in Matthew chapter 10, and it's the second like major section of this scripture, and it's the section where Jesus teaches after the Sermon on the Mount. And so the chapters in between there, chapters 8 and chapters 9, they narrate these different episodes in the ministry that Jesus has. And so you'll see a lot of teaching, healing, casting out of demons, even raising the dead in these chapters. But at the end of chapter 9, Jesus looks at the crowds and has compassion on them. And so then he tells his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers, they're few. So therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. And so I think here Jesus is saying, pray, but I intend you to be the answer to your own prayer. Because what happens in the beginning of chapter 10 is that he starts sending them out, and he gives them authority over unclean spirits, over demons, to cast out and cure diseases and every sickness. And so the disciples there are supposed to act like they're ambassadors of Jesus, as an extension of Jesus' ministry, really, and proclaiming that same good news to people, performing the same works of healing, and all of those things. That's what he's doing with them. And so today we might think of evangelism in a lot of different ways. It is all of us, like a community of all of us, going out, and we have to embody the good news. It's not just telling someone if they're going to heaven and do they know if they're going to heaven or not. It's really about us embodying what the good news of Jesus Christ is. And so all of us are sent out to bear that to others, but we have to do that in humility, and we have to do that with a sense of vulnerability, as it says here, because some people might reject you. And we must, you know, we might be willing to accept that kind of rejection from folks.
But
look at the directive here at the end of it. He says this. And he refers to his disciples as little ones, like children without status, children without protection, and children, for the most part, are also vulnerable. And so Jesus assures these little ones that the persons that welcome them and shows them hospitality and offer them just a simple kindness and are kind to them, by offering maybe a cold cup of water, that they will be blessed, and that their presence, your presence, our presence, will convey Jesus themselves to the people. And so I think what part of Jesus is saying and emphasizing here is the importance of simple kindness. And so both on not just the disciples, but also to the ones that are encountering them. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about kindness and what it means to be kind, because kindness is something that can be offered, and we offer it with gentleness, or we can offer it with our whole heart. And there's really a lot of importance to talk about when we think about kindness, and kindness, if we think about it, can lead us to a deeper kind of spiritual path. And for me, I think it's a prerequisite of what evangelism is. Because kindness has the power to break down all sorts of walls. Kindness has the power to make people understand each other and love each other, and kindness can kind of help dissipate some misunderstandings between each other. And a single act of kindness can change the course of someone's day. It can make someone feel good. It can offer people hope. And it's transformative, this kind of power, this kind of kindness. And we see that kindness, no matter what kind of religious thought or framework that you come from, kindness is kind of in the center of that. Be kind to each other. Love each other. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this encapsulates what kindness is in the golden rule. So I'm going to read a little bit of studies that have been done. Studies have found that acts of kindness are linked to increased feelings of well-being. It helps others improve our social network, and it encourages us to be active. But kindness also helps us feel good about ourselves in some way. It's kind of weird, but not weird. You help someone else, you're like, man, I did a good thing. And although I might feel like crap about myself, I did this one nice thing for someone. It can lead to this sense of joy that is immeasurable, that we can't really express. Because at the core of everything is that we're all interconnected with each other. And we're created to live in harmony with each other. And kindness is in the midst of that, as we live and walk in community with each other. Mother Teresa says this, and she poses this question to people when she would gather in groups. She said, if you had to get into heaven on the testimony of the little people you encounter in life, the waiters who served you, the cashiers who checked you out, the custodial staff who cleaned the building you work in, where would you land? My daughter Gabby turned 28 last week or so, and so I love makeup, and so I bought her the new She Glam Harry Potter palette and Harry Potter makeup brushes. So she calls me, she's like, oh, I got your brushes. And I'm like, oh, yeah, where are you heading? She's like, I'm heading to my doctor. Gosh darn it! Stop driving like that. She has like really bad road rage in Florida. And sorry, Gabby, if you're watching. Gabriela sometimes will be like, I don't like people. And so she has a job where she really doesn't have to talk to people very often. But you put Gabby in front of a bunch of kids and something happens. She becomes the kindest person you've ever seen. Something comes over her when she's around children. Around adults, another thing. That's another thing. But kindness that you see in her when she's with kids is something else. And last month, as you saw, I wasn't here, and that's because I went to San Francisco, and we stayed in this beautiful Catholic kind of retreat center, and we were able to get snacks 24 hours a day. All we had to do was go to the cafeteria, and so I went down to get some snacks, and one of the ladies was mopping, and I just walked right in over the wet floor and grab some snacks. I know. She kind of just looked at me, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you mopping? And I'm like walking away with a basket. I don't know if she knew I understood Spanish. Because the rest of the week, I just felt so bad because she was talking about me. She's like, there he goes again. Doesn't ask permission. I felt horrible. I felt horrible. The impression I left her, a bunch of Christians coming in to do a retreat. And here he is, not asking any kind of permission, just waltzes right in. Now, if I did that to my mother, I would have got hit. But she looked at me strange the rest of the weekend, and I like tried to apologize, but it was kind of my actions spoke louder than my words at that point. And so I don't know what could I have done differently, but all I know is that it can't just go beyond just the niceties of just being going to do something nice for you. It has to go deeper than that, because it involves empathy, it involves compassion, it involves the ability to see just beyond our own needs of getting snacks and I need something to eat. And it involves recognizing people as individuals. And so that's an empathetic kind of kindness that moves us out of our comfort zones and moves us into new places. It makes us vulnerable, and it involves sometimes a little bit of sacrifice. But when we do that, we create genuine connections with people. And it's a type of selfless love that can't be measured by anyone. And so we have to make people feel welcomed. And so we'll talk a little bit about how we do evangelism here at Urban Village Church. But the goal is to notice people rather than make people feel invisible. And we make people feel like they're worthy of care. And the thing about kindness is that it's usually expressed in small ways, a cup of water. And so if you have a partner that you live with or married, most would say that it's not the big things that your partner does for you. It's these little things, remembering that you like cream in your coffee. I don't know. I don't have a partner. But these small things.
Making the bed.
There we go. Oh, my. That's a testimony right there. These simple actions. I love Lola. These simple actions, they're not hard to do, right? Making a bed is not hard to do. Do it. And it makes you wonder. Oh, Lola. It makes us wonder why people don't practice kindness more often. Why don't we do it more often? So I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can do to show kindness and encourage you. One is address people by their names. If they have a name tag, just say their name. If it has a pronoun and they want to be called by a pronoun, say it. It says to them, I see you, I acknowledge you. And you're not just any person walking down the street. You're fulfilling a function, and I appreciate what you do. And not something that's generic, because you're a specific person in my eyes. So offering a compliment is also a nice way to show kindness to people, and doing it genuinely. Loving someone's hair color or something that they did. They're smart. I don't know. Things that you can say to other people. But it's those little messages that convey things to them. It says, I value you. Again, I see you. But more often than not, those things are kind of hard for us to do. And we live in a world with a lot of division. A lot of people don't agree with each other. We don't agree with each other sometimes in different ways. And showing kindness in that sense can go a long way. Folks in my small group know that very well. Disagreeing with me or me disagreeing with you, we can do that in a way that is loving towards each other. You might not agree all the time with everything I say, and I might not agree with the way you see things. But we can still be kind to each other in those ways, and especially in that sense. You can totally break down a lot of walls when you do that. And this is where I think kindness comes in. I'll share a quote here from Martin Luther King Jr. He said this in February, 56 years ago, just months before he was assassinated. And he says, if I can help someone as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to the world overwrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. There's this really cool book by a Catholic kind of scholar. Her name is Janet. And she looks at the etymology of the word kindness. And this blows me away. She says that that kindness is a strong virtue. And she quotes here, in Middle English, the words kind and kin were the same. So to say that Christ is our kind Lord is not to say that Jesus and Christ is tender and gentle, although it may be implied, but to say that he is kin, our kind. So think about it this way. To be kind is to be kin. When I say the word kingdom, this is what I'm talking about. That God's kindness meant that God became our kin and Jesus becomes our sibling, our family member. And this is who we are at heart. And for those speakers in Middle English, the word Lord had a particular meaning. For them, Lord was someone from nobility, someone upper class. And to say kind Lord, what that meant was that Jesus breaks that line between the rich and the poor and erases it, eliminates it. Our kind Lord means that there is no borders, that God has become kin with us, a kind Lord. And that line that divides us into groups, just by being kind, reflects so much more than just doing something nice for someone. It's saying we are connected. We are kin. Because Jesus erases the line between the privileged and the unprivileged and all the other lines that we see between black and white, between straight and gay. And so kingdom, the kindness of God. And that's the good news. It's the good news when we march in a pride parade. It's the good news when we make buttons. Sometimes those button things, people come to our tent every year and we make hundreds of buttons. And sometimes I'm like, man, is this worth it? It's worth it. Every single person that comes to that table and sees a kind person and we're like, hey, make a button of whatever you want. We don't say, have you met the Lord and Jesus? It's your Lord and Savior today. We don't have to, because kindness says it all. Yeah. Right? When we vote on matters that have to deal with issues of homelessness, which is coming up, we have to do that with kindness. We have to do all of this with kindness. And so this is the good news in Matthew 10, chapter 10, 40, 40 through 42. Let's let go of this indifference that we might have towards others. This indifference of like, yeah, I can take it or give it, leave it, of doing something nice for someone. Because evangelism, true evangelism, requires us to welcome people. And it requires us to have a mindset of welcoming and a mindset where we are concerned for others, especially the stranger. Amen.